This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
Okay, welcome everybody, the People Speak Radio Show once again. Glad to be on again, got another great guest. Tonight's guest is Ernie Gallo. He's the president of the USS Liberty Veterans Association. He's going to be talking to us about that great and terrible day back in the late 60s, 1967 in fact, when the ship, the USS Liberty, was attacked in broad daylight by the Israeli government. And to this day, there are far too many unanswered questions as to why that happened, how it could have happened, and, you know, we were never really given any solid answers. And so we're going to be talking about that today. Before I do that, let me just mention once again, if anybody would like to call us, you can do so toll-free internationally at 877-489-6350. That's 877-489-6350. If you have any questions or comments for our guest, if you're in the United States or Canada, you can call toll-free at 888-228-4494. Again, that's 888-228-4494. And once again, you're listening in on BBS Radio, and the show is The People Speak. The website is thepeoplespeakradio.net. And I also want to mention, if anyone's interested in reading any of my books, The New World Disorder, Piercing the Fog of 9/11, would probe some of the unanswered questions regarding that event. The New World Disorder book kind of gives a general overview of, you know, the mess that we're in today. The whole world, not just the United States, is going through a turmoil, political, financial, economic, you name it. Things just aren't right. And so this book endeavors to answer the question, why? Why is everything so chaotic? Why is there so much corruption? It's fully documented, hundreds of pages of some of the most authoritative quotes to prove my point that what we're dealing with here is corruption on a grand scale. And the people of the world need to wake up to this and fast, or we're going to be in a lot of trouble. Anyway, if anyone's interested in reading those or any of the other books I have available, you can go to lulu.com. That's L-U-L-U.com. When you're there, just type in my name, Charles Giuliani, spelt, yes, like the former mayor, but no relation, G-I-U-L-I-A-N-I. And if there's any titles you're interested in, but money is an obstacle, don't hesitate to email me, and you can request any of those titles. I'll be happy to send them to you as an attachment file at no charge. And the email for that is truthhurtsradio@aol.com. Hertz is spelt like megahertz, H-E-R-T-Z. Again, that's truthhurtsradio@aol.com, and I'll send any of those that you're interested in right off to you. Okay, with no further ado, let's go to our guest. Again, Ernie Gallo, president of the USS Liberty Veterans Association. I'm sure he's got many important things to share. So with no further ado, welcome to the show, Mr. Gallo.
Thank you very much. I'm pleased to be here, and I hope I can share with you the events and some of the things that happened to us over the years.
Yeah, definitely. For those not familiar, why don't we just take a moment and give a brief overview of exactly what did happen. The year was 1967, and there you were, you yourself were aboard the ship as well, correct?
Yes, I'm a survivor.
Right.
June 8th, 1967, the Arab-Israeli war started by Israel on June 5th, and they had taken out the air forces of Egypt, Jordan, and Syria, and they had also conquered the Sinai, and they were now looking at the Suez Canal. They wanted to take the Golan Heights, and we were sitting off the coast of the Sinai, and I guess that was a problem for them. And they decided that it was we had to be silenced. President Johnson was breathing down their neck to come to the peace table, because the Soviets were breathing down his neck. And as a matter of fact, they had paratroopers, as told to us by Brezhnev, that they were ready to fly into Egypt and Syria should the Israelis make a move to go to Cairo or Damascus. So for President Johnson, it was a very tenuous time, and it was important to get Israel to the peace table, but their war plans included taking the Golan Heights, which meant they had to take their troops out of the Sinai and move them over towards Syria. And I guess they figured that we could blow their operation and report that to our allies, and in turn they may report to the report that to their Arab allies, and therefore Egypt may find out that Syria was now, the Sinai was now vulnerable. They could take it back. Anyway, we got we were attacked.
So not only were they concerned that the truth might come out, what they were doing, but you think possibly they might also have been concerned or might have been wanting to maybe blame bombing the USS Liberty on Syria?
By Egypt.
Egypt, yeah.
Yeah, that thought has, that focus we believed for years, but after talking to a historian who knows a lot of the facts, and when you think about it, it doesn't pass the logic litmus test, and that is that Israel now had the Sinai, and we were off the coast of the Sinai. So, in other words, why would they, the Egyptians weren't there, that's my point. Because the Israelis had now taken over the Sinai. But
right.
The fact that they wanted the Golan Heights, and, you know, we weren't the ally that we consider Israel today. And another thought might be that, yes, we were just getting very friendly with the Israelis. But for instance, we were not the arms suppliers that we are today. A lot of things were very different at that time, and this would be one way of letting America know that when Israel wants to do something, don't get in their way,
yeah.
No matter what the situation is. As a matter of fact, I might say to anyone out there that's listening that is active military, anytime you are around the Israeli Defense Forces, the IDF, watch your back. Because they're going to do whatever they feel is necessary to prosper, you know, in that situation. And the history and reality is that there isn't an American politician that's going to come to your aid or your support.
Yeah, they
that's
side with
we
them.
Have learned.
Right.
In
yeah, that's
certain terms.
I wanted to elaborate on that a little bit because you mentioned how, you know, we weren't the arms supplier then that we are now. But having become their arms supplier, I don't think that's necessarily a good thing. It doesn't imply that they're any more friendly toward us now. I mean, I'm sure you know they've been caught many times in recent months, in fact, spying on us. It's a pretty regular, ongoing thing, the Mossad.
They said that they're the third active, most active spy agency in the United States, operating in the United States.
Right. And here they are supposed to be such close allies of us. But yet, even though they get caught, nothing ever seems to come out of it, does there?
No. The other point I'd like to drive home, and, you know, our beef is with our government and what they have done to us for 41 years.
Yeah.
34 Americans were killed and 173 wounded. That's two-thirds of our crew. There was over 820 penetrations into the bulkheads of the ship. I mean, you know, you have to think about that, and they call it an accident. They called it a case of mistaken identity. On a beautiful sunny day with our flag flying and the Liberty markings as any other American ship with the letters GTR-5 on its hull, and USS Liberty across the stern. How they could mistaken the ship for an Egyptian horse carrier is ludicrous.
Right.
So it defies, once again, the logic test, Leibniz test, that they could possibly think that we were that were anything else. As a matter of fact, that morning before the attack, we logged in 12 overflights, 12 reconnaissance flights of Israeli aircraft that were plainly marked, flying very, very low, but you could wave to the pilot, and the pilot waved back in a friendly manner. In fact, we felt very confident and comfortable that the Israelis were keeping an eye on us, our ally. And some of the guys were sunbathing because they were off from work. That's how relaxed that day was until that afternoon when all hell broke loose. Our government gave them a free pass for the murder of 34 Americans. But what the other point that they're missing is it was an attempted murder on 293 Americans, because we did take a torpedo, and miraculously, the ship did not sink. And it was obvious from the attack that they wanted that ship sunk, and with all hands lost. So really, it was an attempted murder of 293 Americans. And all I can say is the ship and the other Navy crew on board that ship were very well trained, damage control men, our doctor, our medics, our radio men, our electronic technicians. Everybody performed perfectly or as they should have. And I wouldn't be here talking to you today if it wasn't for them. And I can't say a word about any help from the Sixth Fleet, because we didn't see any help from them until 5 o'clock the next morning. Planes were actually, when we called the Mayday, the Saratoga, USS Saratoga, an aircraft carrier, and the America, also an aircraft carrier, were going to launch planes. In fact, the Saratoga did launch some planes, and they were recalled by the White House. Bob McNamara recalled the aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
Admiral Geis was fit to be tied. He was the air commander of the Sixth Fleet. He could not imagine them doing that, because we didn't tell them who was attacking us, because we didn't know. The planes that originally attacked us were unmarked.
I didn't know that.
It could have been the Soviets. It could have been anybody that was attacking the ship.
And you guys were just helpless, because, I mean, you didn't even have any munitions on the ship, right? It was just an intelligence-gathering vessel.
The USS Liberty was a converted World War II cargo, Victory Hull cargo ship. It was very, very lightly armed, 450 caliber machine guns for repel border purposes.
Certainly not enough to stave off an attack, though, like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the Admiral Geis, like I said, was fit to be tied, and he challenged the order because he was so upset. And that, you know, there was a U.S. naval vessel under attack. And so he ordered planes to be launched again, and ensured that the planes were conventionally armed. And so when he reported back to the White House what he was doing, and in indicating that he was challenging the order, and he wanted to make them know for sure that there was these planes were not nuclear armed, and that they were coming to our aid. And this time President Johnson came on the line and recalled the aircraft. And he was supposed to have said, "I don't care if that ship sinks. I will not have my ally embarrassed." To this day, we don't know where that came from. Bob McNamara is still alive today, and I'd love to see him in a court of law, under oath, or in front of Congress, under oath, explaining that statement, if he could. or for that matter, the issues that we have with our government is that the USS Liberty incident has never been objectively and honestly investigated.
Oh no, and it never will be, apparently.
We keep asking and fighting for it. As a matter of fact, we actually filed a war crimes report in 05, June 8th of 05, and the Israelis were guilty of war crimes attacking us.
Mm-hmm.
We have witnesses who actually saw them machine gunning our life rafts. They fired on our stretcher bearers. They wanted that ship sunk, in the worst way. And
well, I mean, it's obvious. Not only were you not an Egyptian ship, but it's obvious that you weren't any kind of a battleship. You were no military threat.
That's a very important item, because 9 months later, the Pueblo, as you know, was attacked and captured by the North Koreans.
Yeah.
And the North Koreans contacted them and said, "You surrender." Well, after they fired on the bridge of the Pueblo, one of the sailors was killed, and Captain Booker wisely surrendered because he couldn't fight them off.
Sure.
And we were never given that opportunity. The Israelis never asked us to surrender.
No questions.
That matter,
just open fire.
Exactly. And they dropped five torpedoes in the water. And our captain did a good job of averting four of them, but unfortunately we took the fifth torpedo. And the torpedo struck the ship in the one and only place it could, and the ship would still stay afloat. It struck our communications center, security group communications center, in the amidships below decks, and that's the area that killed 25 of the 34. And one of the reasons that we've asked for an investigation, an honest and objective investigation, and I'll come back to that statement in a minute, is that because if in our May Day, if the planes were allowed to come to us, they may have prevented the motor torpedo boats, the Israeli motor torpedo boats, and chased them off and prevented them from firing or dropping the torpedoes in the water, killing the 25 of the 34. And we'll never know what that timeline is until that investigation takes place, with everybody given testimony under oath.
Right.
And the reason I said honest and objective investigation is because right after we were attacked, and the damage control shored up the bulkheads in and around the blast area of the torpedo, we got additional medical help, and the more seriously wounded were taken off the ship and flown to the USS America, where they were cared for. This is all the next day, okay? After all that was done, we were given orders to sail to Malta into dry dock. And we had a Navy tug follow us to ensure that, because we were still in danger of sinking. But we made it, we sailed all the way to Malta and in the dry dock. And at that time, an admiral and four or five captains came aboard the ship, and the crew was pleased, those of us who were left on the ship were pleased to see this August group come aboard to perform a Navy Court of Inquiry. And it turns out that this Navy Court of Inquiry was a sham. We know that now because the legal counsel for that group was a Captain Ward Boston. He's passed on. He lived in San Diego, but he, in 02, he gave us a sworn affidavit to that effect, explaining the details of why he said that it was a sham.
Kind of like a deathbed confession or something.
No. He did have a few more years before he passed away. He felt extenuating circumstances. He took an oath never to talk about his part in that. But a judge, Jay Crystal, wrote a book about the Liberty, and the book is an Israeli apologist type of. It was, you know, in other words, it blessed the Israelis, and that it was that it was truly an accident.
Yeah,
well,
they did no wrong. Yeah,
exactly. He never talked to the crew of the USS Liberty. I don't know where he got his information. He even claims that Congress did investigate the Liberty 10 times, and it's a joke because if you go to the congressional archives and ask to see a copy of this congressional investigation, there isn't any because it never happened. The only time the crew was ever asked to give testimony under oath was at that Navy Court of Inquiry.
Right there on the spot.
We know that it was a sham because testimony was given by certain members of our crew, like Lieutenant Painter, Lloyd Painter, who actually saw the machine gunning of our life rafts. That testimony was dropped from the Navy Court of Inquiry. It's not in there.
Wow.
And according to Captain Ward Boston, the report that they put together was then taken from them, from the White House, and rewritten so that the Navy Court of Inquiry would support the then Israeli claim that this was an accident in the fog of war, that our flag was limp, that because of the smoke and the fires, the Israeli motor torpedo boats couldn't see the ship and the flag, and so they didn't know it was an American ship, and it goes on and on and on, just nothing but BS.
So, well, I mean, weren't there some of the pilots who have even come forward over the years since and admitted that they radioed back, look, this is not an enemy ship, it's an American ship, and that they were told, you have your orders, carry them out?
It's worse than that. There was an EC, I think it's an EC-121, that was flying nearby, an NSA-type aircraft flying nearby, that intercepted the Israeli pilots' discussions with their ground handlers. And there was an active on-site translation that was done on the aircraft from Hebrew to English of the communications that was taking place between the pilots and the ground handlers. And the pilots were telling the ground handlers that this is a mistake. This is an American ship. And the ground handler is saying, take out the target. And in other words, they didn't have a choice. So there was one pilot who refused to attack the plane, and he returned to base and was court-martialed. Now, this tape that was that's NSA tape of this conversation, at the same time, the information was being relayed as it was being discussed via teletype, and there were three different Air Force security group personnel at three different locations. They did not know each other. All told us the same exact story about that event. So we know the tapes exist. Even Jim Bamford, the author Jim Bamford.
Body of Secrets, yeah.
Body of Secrets and Prelude to War, a number of great books.
Yeah.
Even and initially he was an enemy of NSA and became after his first book became a notoriety for them. That they sort of opened the vaults for him. he supposedly, or he has indicated that those tapes did exist at that time. We've tried to get copies. We've tried to get a lot of documents via Freedom of Information Act, and we keep running into brick walls as far and getting documents that are completely redacted so that, that you cannot understand anything that they say. We've been told many times, at different times, that the attack was classified and it'll never be declassified, even though it's greater than 25 years old. It's ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous.
You know, unfortunately, that's probably true, but keep fighting, because if nothing else, you're making people aware. If the government doesn't do anything, at least people are becoming aware of this type of stuff. Because you know what? This is still a problem. You know, they're still pulling, like the spy rings, you know, they're still pulling stuff and getting away with it. If any other country did something like this to us, obviously, this would be a declaration of war. That's an act of war.
Right. You're absolutely right. And it brings me to my point about what Congress has not done. There is a law on the books that goes back to piracy days that says that if a naval ship is attacked in peacetime, they have a requirement to investigate that incident. And they have done so in every incident with the exception of the USS Liberty. Political correctness started in 1967, and it's ruining this country. Because AIPAC and other Israeli support groups are vicious. If you criticize or complain, or I'm talking about congressmen, tried to take them to task for something that they do, they're immediately labeled anti-Semitic. As I know I am going to be, as I have in the past.
Mm-hmm.
I lovingly worship a Jewish carpenter, and I wish of the folks of the Jewish faith all the happiness and fortune in life. Our issue is with our government.
Right.
That the congressmen need to step up and do the American thing. This party business and this political correctness has got to cease.
Like I like to point out, when you speak against stuff like this that Israel has done, that's no more anti-Semitic than to speak against the Holocaust and call that anti-Aryan, you know. It's just a reality, and it has to be dealt with. This something, you know, this can't be let go.
You're absolutely right. We're living in some very tenuous times, and if Congress continues down this path, we might as well just think about changing our 5-pointed stars on our flag to 6. I don't know. We're going to be in years to come, if we continue down this road, we'll be answering to Israel as to
the rate we're going.
Leader.
Sure. Mr. Gal, I'm sure you probably heard of this. That I was talking about the Israeli spy rings that have been going on. There was one that was going on around the time of 9/11, and Fox actually did a 4-part series on this. It's no longer on their website, but it is all over the Internet. Carl Cameron was the one who did this. It was aired in December of 2001. Anyway, to make a long story short, what he uncovered is that there were 60 Mossad agents involved in this. They were spying on high-level White House and Pentagon and State Department officials. And when he started asking around, you know, to the FBI and the INS and the State Department, hey, what's going on? How come this isn't being further investigated? People aren't being brought to justice, on and on and on. And he said every person they talked to from the FBI, INS, and State Department all said the same thing, that when it comes to Israeli spy rings in the United States, to even suggest such a thing amounts to career suicide. Imagine that?
Oh, yeah. I believe it. I believe it in no uncertain terms. We've been through this for 41 years, and
wow.
Things that have been said to us is incredible, incredible. Another, for instance, I want to make a another point that, you know, the crew of the USS Liberty are law-abiding Americans who wouldn't think mm-hmm. of causing our government any grief. We were given a gag order never to speak about the incident, and we would have kept that. But we began to, things began to happen that just were not correct. And that's what's driven us, to tell us to be very vocal about what's happened to us. What I'm trying to say here is, you know, your upbringing, your patriotism, scouting, religious experiences, and the rest of it, plant seeds that when you see something like this happen, or that's happened to us, that I'm sorry, we've got to speak out. And you know, we were told that
conscience demands
it. If we ever talked about the Liberty incident, we could get 10 years in jail, $10,000 fine, or worse.
Unbelievable. And these were your friends, your fellow servicemen that had died, and you're supposed to keep quiet about it. This is absolutely astonishing. I'll tell you what, Mr. Gallo, we've got to go to a short break. Hang with us, and we'll be right back. I'm sure, folks, you're going to want to stay tuned and hear many more things that he's got to share with us. This is major. This needs to be investigated. We need to keep pushing for it, regardless how corrupt the government is and keeps turning deaf ears. We've got to keep pushing because we're still seeing Israel pulling shenanigans to this day because they've gotten away with USS Liberty. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson from Normal. For 30 years, Normal has provided a voice for the millions of Americans who smoke marijuana responsibly. Thousands of sick and dying patients find marijuana effective as a medicine, including cancer, MS, and AIDS patients. 9 states have legalized its use. To learn how you can help, contact Normal at www.norml.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORML.
In a world of abundance, hunger is a crime. When a malnourished child dies, we're all guilty. Yet it happens every 5 seconds. Let's do the right thing. Put hunger away for good. Please, give to the world food program.
We used to write letters to each other a lot,
and it was intimidating to talk to him sometimes because he just seemed so isolated by himself.
She started talking about how she wishes that her life was over and she wishes that she was never born.
So I knew he had depression, but I didn't know it was that far.
Said something to me about killing himself.
Tell somebody, tell an adult, counselor, parent, whatever.
It's a hard situation because you do risk making that person very angry and losing their friendship.
It would have been horrible for me if she never talked to me again, but I'd live with it because I know she'd be alive.
Definitely worth getting help, even if you think you're going to lose a friendship, because it's better to lose the friendship than the actual friend.
Suicide is one of the leading causes of death among teens. For more information, contact the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, 888-333-AFSP, or online at afsp.org.
Are you appalled that our country is spending billions on war while cutting funds for our libraries, hospitals, and schools? Are you heartsick at the suffering of the Iraqi people? Then join me, Medea Benjamin, in signing Code Pink's urgent call for peace in Iraq. Sign on today at www.womensaynotowar.org.
We teach them how to tie their shoes. They teach us how to live our lives. We teach them long division. They teach us how to bank online. Our children will always outgrow us, but for the first time in generations, they may not outlive us. Over the last 25 years, the percent of overweight children aged 6 to 11 has doubled. The percent of overweight teenagers tripled. Obesity kills. Heart disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, all are linked to obesity, a problem that could be greatly reduced just by having a place to exercise. Right now, people are working hard to put parks and playgrounds where children live, where children will use them. Finding out how you can help is as easy as tying your shoes. Log on to earthshare.org now. A public service message brought to you by EarthShare and the Ad Council.
This land is your land.
Join us on The People Speak for an hour of live interviews and audience interaction as guests of various organizations share their work and strategies which impact the world and make a difference. That's The People Speak every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern, on the BBS Radio Network.
This land was made for you and me. One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the sea wall by the relief of I saw my people and they stood there hungry.
Okay, welcome back, everyone. Again, our guest this evening is Ernie Gallo. He's the president of the USS Liberty Veterans Association. We're talking tonight, of course, about the 1967 attack on the USS Liberty, a Navy intelligence ship, not a threat to anyone, and suddenly these Israeli planes come out of nowhere and just start opening fire. And, of course, this went on, Mr. Gallo, for quite some time, didn't it? Wasn't it over an hour?
90 minutes. 90 minutes, which was forever, and it felt like forever and ever, of course.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So they just kept circling around the same planes?
I was below decks, so I can't tell you exactly how many passes the jets made, but the initial attack was to take out, of course, the 450 caliber machine gun nest and to... they put rockets right through the portholes, if you could imagine that, in the helm, at the helm, to take out our center of control of the ship, you might say. The next thing was to take out all the antennas to prevent us from getting any messages.
Communicating,
out.
Sure, yeah.
And they were also jamming our frequencies, and that's a key point because in order to jam those frequencies, they had to know the frequencies we operated on, and only the United States Navy used certain frequencies for certain things. So they knew just from that, in order to be able to do that, who they were attacking.
Good point, yeah.
Our radio men were smart enough to figure out when they weren't jamming, and that's when they were able to
get
a quick mayday out. They took out every single transmit whip antenna that we operated on except one. And miraculously, there was a bullet hole in the base of the antenna, but it did not collapse. And we were able to run one of our ETs, electronic technicians, Terry Helbutier, is one of my heroes. He ran a transmission line to the base of that antenna so they could get that mayday out. Otherwise, it would have been absolute silence. Sixth Fleet would have never known we were under attack, and the Israelis could have continued for forever and ever. However, we were sent a message that help was on the way. And even though that did not happen, because, as I said earlier, the planes were recalled, the Israelis did not know that. The message that they received also was the help was on the way. And then shortly after that, the motor torpedo boats left the area. And as I said, for all naval accounts, the USS Liberty should have sunk. But the torpedo hit the ship in the only place it could have, that we could have stayed alive or stayed afloat. And our boilers were operable. And so we had steam, we had propulsion. And while we didn't have a helm, we had to steer the ship right at the rudder, mechanically right at the rudder near the stern. But the captain did have control, and that's the other person that I want to talk about, because it leads into the events that have happened over the years to bring us out of this cocoon that we were in, a gag order that we were told we couldn't speak about what happened because of those events. Our captain was an awesome gentleman. He, because of his demeanor, his professionalism, and his character, all those attributes, we felt that, you know, with him at the helm, with him giving orders, we were going to get through this. He was he was that kind of sailor, and he was given the Medal of Honor because he did save the ship, and he, by keeping his cool head.
So you weren't afraid of sinking the whole time?
Oh, we were, and the order was given to prepare to abandon ship, and that's when we discovered that there was nothing to go in the water with but our life vests.
Wow.
And he realized that while we were listing 10 degrees, that the ship was holding its own, and that his engineers told him that he had power, and so he wisely decided to pour on as much speed as possible, and if the ship was going to sink, he was going to take the ship in deeper water so that the Israelis couldn't get their hands on our classified equipment. That was his intentions. But in so doing, he saved us, and the ship saved us, too. I can't say enough about the World War II shipbuilders. getting back to what I was saying about you know, the events that happened. After the Liberty, I was given orders to go to Cheltenham Communications Station on the other side of Andrews Air Force Base. And so I was in D.C. when I received an invitation to go to the Captain's Medal of Honor ceremony. At that time, President Johnson gave Medal of Honors to soldiers or military at the White House. And with press, this invitation indicated that the Medal of Honor was being given to the captain.
Can I just interject real quick? I'm just curious. At what point did you realize it was actually Israelis that were doing the attacks?
I didn't realize it until after the attack was over.
Oh, okay.
Because I was below deck all the time.
Yeah.
Anyway, our captain was given the Medal of Honor at the Washington Navy Yard by the Secretary of the Navy, not by Johnson, of course, and no press. And his citation, his Medal of Honor citation, does not say a word in there that the Israelis were the attackers. And this was the theme that we began to see on the headstones at Arlington Cemetery and press releases. There was a concerted effort to indicate that the attack was accidental, and they would not even mention the Israelis whatsoever that it was an accidental attack. Now, we had two officers, our executive officer, Philip Armstrong, and one other, Lieutenant Stephen Toth. Both of them were Annapolis graduates. There is a wall, I understand, near their chow hall, a wall of honor, that if you're killed in action, your name goes up on that wall for posterity. And they were not going to put these two officers' names on that wall because it was an accidental incident. It took the intervention of Admiral Thomas Moore, four-star admiral. I don't know if you remember him. He was the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
Sure.
It took his intervention to get those two names placed on that wall in Annapolis. And he is my inspiration, Admiral Thomas Moore. Until his deathbed, he fought and was our supporter and was criticized for it and the rest of it. But he knew the truth, that the attack was deliberate, and he was not going to give up. And as a matter of fact, he gathered other well-named and a blue ribbon panel to perform their own investigation and present that to Congress. And that information was placed in the congressional record. And but Congress ignored it. Believe it or not,
Surely.
It was ignored. So these are the kind of things that happened over the years that started to get our attention. And then the fact that, hey, 34 of our crewmen were murdered, and they're getting away with this, and nobody is even criticizing them, except for a few individuals. It was astonishing. Astonishing. And then this continued on time and time and time again.
Still going on today. Hey, did you get any threats or any of your fellow crewmen, you know, that were aboard that had survived? Any kind of threats or anything like that? Any mysterious deaths that you know of? For speaking out, you know.
No, not. I can't say that that's ever happened. I have a dear friend of mine that was in a car accident when he left our reunion in Washington, D.C. Last year, and or I should say 2 years ago. And his name was Richard Thompson, and he was a very close friend of mine and major supporter. He ran into a tree on his way home. It was mysterious in a way, but
you couldn't put your finger on it with certainty.
He was having problems with blacking out, and they felt that, in other words, the authorities feel that that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
was this something from that he sustained, you know, an injury that he sustained that he was that caused
it? It killed him outright.
I mean the blacking out, is that something from the Liberty attack?
Oh, no. He was a supporter.
He wasn't on it. Okay.
No,
I don't imagine you yourself sustained any injuries, huh, because you were down below deck.
No, I was very fortunate. Very fortunate. Close, but I have so many friends that were hurt. Stories I could spend all night telling you things. I wanted to continue on at explaining why we have gotten to the point of this drive of ours to get the story out, because we also realized that there was other prominent Americans, including Secretary of State Dean Rusk and CIA Director Richard Helms, NSA directors and deputy directors, that all have said that the attack, was deliberate. And for our government to dig their heels in. And now, when I told you about the war crimes report, they violated their own rules, their own regulation of what they're supposed to do when they receive a war crimes report.
Right.
And we asked them about that, and they said that we don't have to investigate it because the Navy Court of Inquiry is the official document that they hang their hat on. And we know that that document is bogus.
Right.
We know it's
right.
A sham.
Yeah.
Another individual that's very key here is Rear Admiral Merlin Starring, who was the Navy Judge Advocate General from 73 to 75. He was a captain in London when Navy Court of Inquiry report came through London on its way back to Washington, and he had a chance to view it. He was asked to review it by his superior, Admiral McCain, our senator's father. Okay.
Yeah.
In the course of his review, he was having issues with conclusions and statement of fact, and
really?
He told them that and was warning them that there was an issue even with the report. So that's how he knew or got involved in the incident. Later on, after we talked to him, we found out that he was, over the years, that report of that incident has troubled him many, many times. So he took it upon himself to take the Navy Court of Inquiry, got it, we gave him the report, and he meticulously, as a Navy lawyer, and dissected the report and developed a legal document to give to the current JAG for their consideration. And his point is, or was, that the Navy Court of Inquiry that was done in 67 lacked the legal precedent for the seriousness of that event, that the short time that the investigative body took, the lack of testimony that they did not take, and in other words, he meticulously gave them the reasons, separate from the fact that it was bogus, that why they should do another Navy Court of Inquiry just for the sake of the JAG history, that this will not go down as a black mark in their historical records. And
has his son ever done anything to follow in his father's steps, Senator McCain?
On the contrary, he remember I told you about the book from Judge J. Crystal?
Mm.
He endorsed.
Oh, really?
So,
not like father, like son here.
An awful lot.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Admiral Staring, the current Navy Judge Advocate General, told Admiral Staring that he said to him, "You realize what you're asking for, Admiral, will be considered anti-Semitic."
Oh,
you know, bro. And so that
it is.
Political correctness is just ruining this country so many different ways.
Absolutely. It's just suppression of freedom of speech is all it is.
Yes, it is. It is. And Congress just needs to wake up. And I know our agenda is very specific, we have our own reasons why this needs to be done. But for God's sakes, it's to me, it's as plain as the nose in your face of why they should investigate. We had an individual, his name was John Bourne, who was doing his doctoral thesis. He was going for his history doctorate, and he decided to do the USS Liberty incident as his thesis. And the dilemma that he immediately came up with is that, what does a historian write up for the history books for the kids to study in the future?
Mm-hmm.
When the United States government says this is historical fact, when the historian himself or herself then investigates that era or that incident, discovers that that's not what they found. And that's so John Bourne's point is, what are historians to do when you have the U.S. government saying one thing and they're
right,
discovering something else?
Yeah.
So for the sake of the 34 that were killed and their honor, and the other point to this is that the USS Liberty is the most decorated naval ship since World War II. And the Navy should treat this incident with determination and
sure.
Help us out.
Absolutely. Even if that wasn't the case, I mean, we're still dealing here with an American ship that was attacked by a foreign power, and far from doing anything, they've just covered it up and swept it under the rug. This is just absolutely intolerable. We talked during the break about some speaking engagements you have coming up. Would you like to tell the audience about that?
Okay. On the 25th of September, we're going to, at 7 p.m., we're giving a presentation at Greenwich Library. And then on the 26th...
That's Greenwich, Connecticut.
Yes, Greenwich, Connecticut. On Friday the 26th, 11 a.m., we're giving a presentation at Ridgefield Library in Ridgefield, Connecticut. And then at 7 p.m. that day, at United Church of Christ on 323 Temple Street, New Haven, Connecticut. On Saturday at 10 a.m., Norwalk Library in Norwalk, Connecticut. And at 2 p.m. that day at Suffern Library, Suffern, New York. Sunday, the 28th at 11:30 at Memorial United Methodist Church, White Plains, New York. And later on that day at 2:30, the Fellowship of Reconciliation in Upper Nyack, New York.
Excellent. Is there any website or anything else you'd like to share with people as well, where they can get more information or maybe help out with the cause?
Yes. Our website is usslibertyorg or .com, either one. We are a 501c3, I think that's the term.
Nonprofit, yeah.
Nonprofit. We gladly accept the donations to help us out. Anyway, if you go to the website, you can see, acquire all that information. And let's see, the individual that owns that website is Jim Ennis, James Ennis, who wrote a book about the Liberty Incident called Assault on the Liberty. When the book was published, it received acclaim, and it was the foundation for the capturing the information.
Right.
Jim did a very good job of investigating and putting in writing the details of the attack, capturing those details. And the BBC made a documentary movie called Dead in the Water.
Yeah, I've seen that. That's excellent. Yeah.
Yep.
Very good. Okay, Dr. Gallo, unfortunately we've run out of time, but I want to thank you for coming on, taking off the time to share with us. This is one of the most terrible events in American history, and what's even more terrible, again, is that nothing was done about it. If the situation had been rectified, it would be a little more tolerable, but unfortunately that's not the case. I want to, encourage you to continue what you're doing. I think it's wonderful. And you know what? Like I said, even if Congress never stops playing games, at least people are waking up to what's going on. And in fact, as more people wake up, Congress is going to be forced to have to do something if enough people, wake out of their slumber and demand that we start getting something done about things like this, because, again, Israel is still playing games with us. So thanks again. God bless you and your continued work. And I hope some of our listeners will go to the website, that's usslibertyorg or .org, and maybe give some donations to help out with this. Thanks again.
Thank you for so much for having me on. And
you bet.
God bless America.
I hear you. Okay, folks, that's it for tonight. Tomorrow's guest here on the People Speak Radio Show is going to be Jackie Saloom. She's a film producer of Slingshot Hip Hop, and my guest next Monday night, same time, is going to be lawyer William Pepper. He, of course, had defended Sirhan Sirhan, the alleged murderer of MLK, Martin Luther King, and he believes, of course, that he died at the hand of our government and not at the hand of Sirhan Sirhan, so we'll be talking about that next week. You don't want to miss it. So until then, have a great week. We'll see you then.
Bright sunny morning in the shadow of the sea by the relief of the I saw my people and they stood there hungry and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is yours. This land is my land, from California to the New York Island, the Redwood Forest.